is about the only time I ever get nervous. So you pray and...
I'll take the stones over the armor. I'll take the mud and dirty water. If that's what it takes, if that's what it takes, I'll give the bottom of the barrel. And I'll give shelter when you need to hide. If that's what it takes, if that's what it takes, then I'm all in. If that's what it takes to be free, help me to pray and give it away. Help me to see, help me believe, Lord, I'm all in. Now I know a man who died for me, and I'm glad to say I know a man who died to set me free from all my mistakes. He took my pain. Oh, I know a loving Savior who wants to know you more. He is speaking to your heart, and he's knocking at your door. Oh, won't you come and believe in Jesus Christ? If that's what it takes to be free, help me to pray and give it away. Help me to see, help me believe, Lord, I'm all in. If that's what it takes to be free, help me to pray and give it away. Help me to see, help me Lord, I'm all in. Cause sometimes life gives us what we do not understand. And sometimes we just want to lift up our eyes and throw our hands and say, there's no way that I'm getting through this, no way to make it through. But God said, if you'll be all in, I'll be all in with you, oh Lord. Yes, Lord, we're gonna be all in, Lord Jesus. Oh, I'm all in, I'm all in, and that's what it takes to be free, Lord Jesus, hallelujah, yes. If that's what it takes to be free, help me to pray and give it away. Help me to see, help me believe, Lord, I'm all in.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I was sure by now, Lord, you would have reached down, wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen, and it's still raining. as the thunder rolls, I'm barely here. You whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. And I will praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands. You are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I cried, you hold in your hands. Never left my side, though my heart is torn. I will praise you in the storm. I remember when I stumbled in the wind, you heard my cry to you, raise me up again. My strength is almost gone, but can I carry on? If I can't find you, and as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. I will praise you in this storm, I will lift my hands. You are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I cried, you hold in your hands. Never let my side, no, my heart is torn. I will praise you in this storm. I lift my eyes unto the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. I lift my eyes unto the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, maker. Come on, sing it if you know it with us. Come on. I lift my eyes unto the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven. One more time. I lift my eyes unto the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. I will praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands. You are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I cry, you hold in your hands. Never left my side, though my heart is torn. I'll praise you in this storm. A wonderful from the fold where I was saved. It was a long till I found I lost my way. I cry with fear as the night began to fall. One more lost lamb, but I heard a shepherd's call.
Has the Lord been good to you? He's sure been good to me too. Tonight we're going to read just a couple passages out of the book of Daniel. So you can go ahead and turn there with us. We'll read from the book of Daniel in the 5th chapter. If you're there with me tonight, say amen. Glory to God. Let me just say we're so glad that all of you have made it here to the house of the Lord. And surely you will be blessed for coming out and giving God your all. Surely he's going to bless you in your house. We need to be more aware than ever of our surroundings so that we may be a witness to somebody. Look, there's nothing wrong from transitioning from presence to prayer. As long as you can lead somebody to Christ, that's what makes the difference. So let's read a few passages tonight out of the 5th chapter of the book of Daniel. I want to read a few verses from the beginning part. And it says, Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords, and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines, drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold, gods of silver, of brass, of iron and wood, and of stone. And in the same hour, somebody say, in the same hour, came forth fingers of a man's hand.
and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then his countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosened, and his knees smote against one another. Knees a-knocking against each other is what that's saying. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, "Whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." So let's stop right there for a second. When I was studying about what the Lord wanted me to share, I just began to say, "Lord, you know, sometimes it's we feel like that things come suddenly. We feel like they sort of come out of nowhere to attack us. And we're wondering, you know, why that we suffer these things, why that we're dealing with things. And I know that trouble's on every hand and we're going to face things. But I want to talk to you tonight about the things that can be prevented. Tonight I want to talk about the things in your life that you look at, you see it, you know it shouldn't be there, but yet you accept its presence in your life because you don't want to fight the fight to get rid of it. Last weekend we talked about how we fight against these things by pursuing the good in God, and it helps us to put off the things of the enemy. So tonight we have to continue and pursue to fight the good fight. How many of you know that? We've got to fight the good fight. We've got to keep trying. We've got to keep holding on, and we've got to be prepared for when the Lord would lead us and guide us and direct us. Because let me tell you what begins to happen as we dismiss these things that need to go, but the they continue to linger. When we just simply act like it's not there, there's something that begins to happen in our lives. The things that take an appearance that causes us to worship it over God gets our eyes turned away from where the Lord would have them to be. So rather than being interested in worship, we're interested in our phones. Rather than being interested in the Word of God, we're more concerned about what's going on at the job. When we should be concerned about doing the good works of God, our focus is elsewhere on other things. And when it's time to truly shine, our lights are hidden because they're covered up with so much stuff that God can't seem to get through to us. But let me tell you what happened in this moment to Belshazzar when he thought that he could get away with worshiping with the very things that was once ordained to be in the temple of God. God had finally had enough with that foolishness. He had had enough with them celebrating and things that weren't of him. And a time came where he wanted to spell it out that they would understand that something has to be different. I don't know if somebody in here tonight is looking at the writing on the wall. You might see how the enemy's pressing on against you and might think that there's no way out of this. And you might be afraid and your knees buckling, wondering if you're going to get the next bill paid, or wondering if that person's ever going to leave you alone, or wondering if your friends will finally get off your back so you can continue and live a good life. I don't know if you're looking at the writing on the wall yet, but all the while you're letting these things sit around in your life, you're beginning to turn away from the very substance of hope that can bring you life once more. And Lord God, I spent enough time worshiping this world. I spent enough time fooling around in that business, and I didn't need anybody to come and preach to me to tell me that I needed to change my life. It was more than evident inside of my heart that I wasn't doing the things that I should have been doing. It was more than clear that I should have been doing better, that I had greater potential, that I had the ability to do this, but instead I'm choosing to do that. And friends, there's people not sitting here tonight that are making the choice just because it's easy. There's people out there tonight that are not dismissing the things that the enemy's bringing upon them, and destruction shall soon be their outcome, because we only get a season of time while the writing's on the wall that we can have a chance to turn our heart towards the Lord. And that's the times we need to be listening. But there's not a famine for the bringing of the word, as we know, but there's usually a famine for the hearing. For by it we obtain a good report.
If you get past all the things you're dealing with and can get a hold of one thing that this preacher tells you tonight, it can be of more worth to you than worrying all night long about what's going to happen with this situation. If you can put one good thing in that God has done for you, he said that you could put 1,000 of them to flight all on your own. I'm here to tell somebody right now, if there was just 10 people in the house of God, we'd chase out so many demons and devils that we'd go out of here with a little bit of peace. I enjoyed last Sunday more than anything. It stuck with me so much when I got up on Monday. I was still under the anointing of God. I'm not really a morning person, but when I sprung up out of the bed that day, I just said to myself, it's going to be a good day. If we get enough of his presence lingering in our life long enough, then we'd enjoy something for a change. But as we drift away from our purpose, the writing begins to be upon the wall. We know we should do better. How many will agree with that tonight? We know we should be more obedient. We know we should testify to the world. We know of the things that we should be doing. But the things that we are doing are overtaking what we should be doing. And after we continue in this for a period of time, God will begin to speak and cause you to be convicted. If I go too long without obeying him, my heart begins to be heavy. If I go too long without praying, I tend to get a little more short-fused than I should be. Somebody say amen on that one. I've been so short-fused before that they didn't even have to say anything. And I'd be like, what, you got something to say? What's the deal? You got a problem with me? You want to talk about it? You want to go outside? I'm not really like that. I'm just joking with you. But there's times that we get frustrated and we're looking at a situation and we want to do good and we want to celebrate, but the cost of doing it, we don't consider it to be of worth. We consider being idle of more worth than being active. Because if you are active, then you are opening yourself to more suffering. You see, the church has learned a few things. We've learned that life is not easy. And that if we say we want to be blessed and on fire for God, you're saying that you want to be tested and put through the fire. When you say you want to grow, that implies that you're going to have growing pains. But sometimes we go through so much that we want a moment where we don't have to suffer through something. And Belshazzar came into a situation that was just wonderful, that he didn't have to suffer anything yet. And as he began to bask in his pride and bring around all of his best friends and all of the people that he slept with, he wanted to have a celebration. But the moment that he took the very thing that was meant to be called by God, the moment he took the substance of the Lord and used it for his own glory, was the very moment that the writing came on the wall. Friends, I'm here to tell you, I'm not here to point at you and say that you're backslid. I'm not here to condemn you or judge you or make you feel less of yourself. I'm here to tell you that you already know your situation. I'm here to tell you that you already know the pain that you're going through. But there's got to come a moment that when you know to do different, that you don't squander it in the middle of your mess, but let it be what the Lord wanted it to be. Those vessels were never meant to hold wine and be consumed by those that were living out in the world. And that means your gifts and callings were not meant to stay out in the world and complain about life. Your gifts and callings are supposed to make somebody smile. It's supposed to make somebody come alive. What you do for Christ is supposed to bring life and not death. The power of life and death is inside of your mouth. The moment you say something good to somebody, don't you know that feeling that begins to come over someone? It's encouragement. It's encouragement. It's exhortation. It's power to somebody that's in a struggle. So the king sent forth to find anybody that could interpret his fear. And oh, we're so quick to come when we need a word from the Lord. But after we get it, we're good to go. We're good to go. I'll just go on about the way things were. But God didn't change anything in your life for you to live as things were. He changed things in your life so you could live in His ways and not your ways. He didn't bless you with the Holy Ghost for you just to put it down inside of your belly and never let anything come out of your mouth. He didn't bless you with praises for you to hold on to it and wonder if you'll ever find a moment where you can be truly thankful. He didn't bless you with sound mind and good health just for you to sit back and wonder when God's going to take care of the next thing. He's given us what we have today so that we can stand and not get caught up when the writing's put on the wall. Because whether we want to acknowledge it or not, we hear in the good times and we also hear in the bad. When Adam and Eve had strayed, he asked them, "Where are you?" Even though he knew where they were. And that's what conviction truly is. It looks at where we are and says, "Where are you? Where is God in your life? How is God showing in your life? If I never get another chance to preach, I will be caught doing His will. If I never get another chance to pray, I will be found praying with all my heart. If I get to sing one more song, I'm going to be found singing unto Him. If I ever share a prophecy, I want to be found doing His will." The queen that was under that king said, "Oh king, there's this man that we have heard of by the name of Daniel. And he has the spirit," it says it in the scripture, "he has the spirit of the Lord with him." People aren't going to call you to pray for them just because you have a successful life. They're not going to call you to pray for them just because you have a fancy car, but they're going to be drawn to your life because they perceive that the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. In church, what are we doing to cultivate the presence of the Holy Ghost in us? I want to be found every time that the Lord calls upon me to be doing His will. I want to be a straight shooter and get right down to the truth, because I don't want the writing to be on the wall in your life where it's too late and you've got to suffer the judgment of your choices. I don't want you to have to face that. So that's why God's giving it to you ahead of time. Because if you can continue down the road that you're going down, I can't promise you peace will be there. If you do not learn to put God first, we act like it's so painful, but it's not. We act like it's so hard to do, but it's not. Somebody say hallelujah. You don't have a noose on your mouth tonight. You don't have anything hanging you up that's keeping you from praising. If somebody clap your hands in the house of God. I don't hear any chains rattling, do you, brother? I don't hear anything that's keeping me from being able to praise Him. But yet, we make it so hard. But yet, all you've got to do is open up and let God have what He's already given you to have. Because there's going to be a day when it's all that you've got to. Daniel was 90 in this moment. And I've met some people that's close to 90, and they don't have a filter anymore. They just tell you like it is, and that's it. They don't have enough life left to sugarcoat and wait around for you to hope that you learn it. They just get right to the point. You know, when children are young, you know, they're very delicate. And if they fall, you pick them back up. And if they throw it in the floor, you have to understand because they don't know. But as they get into the teenage years, how many mamas can testify to this? That when they sass you back, you want to be like, "Are you kidding me?" How many papas can witness to that? I know I've got a mother that can witness to that. Because the kind of spirit that was within Belshazzar that made him use the vessels of God is the same kind of thing that's on a teenager that makes them think they'll never wreck their first car. It's the kind of thing that young people think that they're never going to get old and suffer anything. And it's the kind of thing that us grown adults think that we don't have to change anything to get exactly what we want. But if He has given you something, and I know He has, if He has given you something to use, and you're out in the world just celebrating as they are, if you're not showing yourself separated as Christ was, then something begins to happen. When I was out in the world and I was celebrating and doing all the things I was doing against my family, against my wife, against all that I know, I knew the truth. And it's a scary thing to know the truth and not follow the truth. For to him, it's sin. And I'm telling you, the moment I turned my heart away, and maybe people can testify to this, everything that I had, I lost. I had a car that was running fine, and it broke down. I had good grades in school, and I'm smart enough to get good grades, but I failed it all. I had someone that I loved, and I messed it up. I had family that cared about me, but I had burned them out. I had a church that would pray for me, but I stopped showing up. I had everything that would bring life to me, but the more that I drifted, the more that the things that I put before God began to be taken from me.